Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Wednesday, November 5th, 2014. And how are you today, Al, post-election day?
Bloodied but unbowed.
Yes. Oh, we got lots to talk about in these elections, and there's a lot of other things to talk about besides that. It's going to be kind of good to move on to something else and see what's if there's any other news that we can pick up. First, let's go ahead and get to the market report today. We have, it was another bloody day in the markets, and incredible. And again, it was another day where it opened, went down, moved a little bit, and just stuck. 11.42 on the day for gold, down 26.40. We have silver down 75 at 15.39. We have platinum down 20 at 12.09. Palladium down 27 at $760. We have, of course, with those low numbers, you know the USDX is stronger, 0.40 to the top at 87.43. Crude oil, it managed to be up $1.66 at $78.85. And, you know, I got gasoline today, and it really didn't seem to make that much of a difference. When I was loading it up, you're still paying, you know, quite a bit for your gasoline. And, you know, you think with a 30 drop in oil.
30%, yep.
You'd, you know, have a little bit better experience at the gas pumps, but you know, so how much does a consumer, how much of that savings from that gas will they actually be putting into the markets, into retail? So we'll talk about that in a little bit, but first let's go ahead and see what the paper markets did today. We have the Dow up 100 points, 17,484. Wall Street's looking for a lot of help from those newly elected Republicans, thinking that they're a little bit more business friendly to these multinational corporations. And so, of course, there was a reaction to the upside. The NASDAQ was down 2 at 46.20. The S&P up 11 at 2023. And the 10-year yield today, 2.35%. up 0.01. And of course, those incentives from the Republicans to corporations is less taxes. Less taxes. That's why they want all those Republicans in there. But again, we'll talk about the elections. We have Wendy Wilson joining us today from the Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Hey, good afternoon, Melanie. Busy day over here. I apologize. I didn't get to send you a topic notice today. I'm sorry about that.
We figured you'd have one, though.
Oh, yeah. I want to really educate people on how important it is that their herbs, the bitter ones, are the ones with all the power in there. Because, you know, let's face it, people don't like things that taste bitter. And let me ask you, do you know when they started sugarcoating medicines, Al? Melody, do you remember when they started adding sweeteners to, you know, liquid cough syrups and stuff like that?
Probably about the same time they discovered that sugar sells, it's easier to sell sugar than it is to sell medicine. You can make more money.
Well, yeah. Well, it was in the 1700s, actually. Pharmacists would sugarcoat the bitter taste of the herbal medicines and make sweet syrups out of them, and they were called elixirs. And mm-hmm. So, you know, this made sure, you know, if it was sweeter, that means patients would take their medicine. But here's the thing. European countries, they're very receptive to the bitter herbs. Actually, Germany alone estimates dispensing 40 million doses of bitter herbs per day. And so Europeans are more receptive. They've come to realize, hey, if it isn't bitter, it doesn't have any power. And actually, Confucius said, good medicine always tastes bitter. So Americans need to adjust the palate a little bit if they want to use an organic product, doesn't have side effects, doesn't run the risk of, you know, all those side effects that, you know, prescription meds tend to have. And so the bitterness has a lot of benefits. So, and depending on the tannins, the oils, the glycosides, and a lot of the alkaloids in the herb, it'll dictate the level of bitterness. So, hey, Al, do you remember, did your family ever serve a drink called vermouth before dinner?
Yeah, they did. I didn't drink it. I couldn't stand gin, and I wouldn't drink a...
Well,
I had an experience with gin that turned me off on anything like gin, and that included vermouth from my perspective. So,
it's okay.
Go ahead.
Well, the reason they did that actually is because vermouth is made from a bitter herb called gentian root, and they gave it as a digestive aid 30 minutes before a meal was served. So it really does improve the digestive juices flowing, gets those flowing, and also it corrects eating disorders like anorexia. Not vermouth, but the gentian root does. So before hops were introduced, they actually used gentian root as a herb in brewing, and it's also very good for digestion. But here's the thing about gentian root. They just found in 2012 that it has an alkaloid, an isoflavone, if you will, that is an inhibitor to the Ebola virus.
Is that right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right. So here it is, you know, down through the centuries, it was given for things like, you know, sore throats and digestion and nausea and things like that. And here, I think God knew we were going to need an Ebola inhibitor for this time. So a lot of European settlers brought this root over when America was established, because it's cultivated usually in the mountain areas of Europe, but now it's grown in the mountain areas of California, so it is now cultivated in the United States. So basically, John Lindsay, he's an English physician and botanist back in 1838, he said this: he scarcely found a plant of the natural order with the bitter principal compounds that existed considerably with intensity as it did in the gentian root. So on a scale of 1 to 10, for over 200 years, they used gentian root as a bitterness scale. It was pretty much high, very high in bitterness. So
what's the chemistry behind bitterness? Are we talking about alkaline, or are we talking about acid or something else? What makes things bitter?
The more glycosides, the glycosides that are in the plant, the more you have in the plant, the more bitter it's going to be. And the really odd thing about gentian root is when you taste it, it tastes sweet at first, and then it gets bitter. It's very odd. So it's one of those bittersweet herbs, if you will. And it's been used for things like rheumatism, appetite problems like we mentioned, stomach ache, inflammation, arthritis, weakness. It was big in the 1700s when you were coming off a long convalescence where you were really weak. This herb gave people stamina. It gave the body a lightness and agility. I love the way the herbalists of the ancient world write. It's almost like poetry. So it gives the body some sort of vim and vigor, if you will. So I think it's got a lot of uses. It was mentioned in the U.S. Pharmacopoeia from 1820 to 1850, and then they took it out. But it's still in the European U.S. Pharmacopoeia, so it's still being used over there, not just for making liquor. They do use it in Switzerland in liquor making as well. But and here's something interesting. Ancient herbalists use this to protect you against poisons like venomous bites and also rabies. It's interesting,
huh? Right. After the fact, after you've been bitten,
right,
you would take this to allegedly... Do you think that was something of an old wives' tale, that it could stop rabies, for example, or protect against rabies? Or
yeah,
do you think it was effective, at least in some cases?
Well, I think in some cases it was. I think it helps to neutralize some sort of toxicity because in the Pharmacopoeia Universalis of 1747, they used it historically during plagues, and it was also grown in all European gardens. It was right next to sage and wormwood, so it seemed to be highly valuable, seemed to work. And so they also used it for things like cancer. They would give it for malignant tumors, and also if the spleen and the liver were congested or blocked in some way. So it seemed to open up the pathways. They would usually, when they gave it, they would make a beverage out of it, and they would put lemon and orange peel in it, and they would serve it warm because it didn't taste quite as bitter when it was warmed up. So I think it's interesting, and the University of Texas Medical Branch, as I mentioned, in 2012 found out that there's a isoflavin called genistein in the gentian root that they said inhibits the Ebola virus, the hemorrhagic fever. So I think that's really neat. They also found other herbs that also have the same alkaloid, the isoflavin, that also inhibits the Ebola virus. That would be your red clover and American ginseng, Al.
What do we mean by inhibit?
Well, it just inhibits the spread because what happens is when you get an Ebola virus, it likes to weaponize the blood, so it seems to neutralize that. So what happens is it tends to dump a lot of nutrients out of the body, including vitamin C. So when that happens, mm-hmm. the cell walls can't keep their shape and they collapse and then they bleed. But once that happens, it moves in to disrupt a clotting mechanism within your blood. So it messes up with the platelets in your blood system. So something in this alkaloid, just genistein, stops that from happening. They're not quite
does
sure
it actually,
does it
actually, is it a cure, or does it merely, you still have Ebola, but you don't get the symptoms?
Well, I think you get this. I think when you come down with the Ebola and you have the symptoms, and if you take these herbs that have these inhibitors, it gives the body the time it needs to launch a defense.
Fight off.
And if you're right, and if you're also pumping in vitamin C and some other nutrients, that's really going to help shore up your defenses as mm-hmm. well. And as we've seen, there's some people even over in Africa, as well as here in the United States, that were able to get over this virus. I think it's because they had some sort of nutritional sources in their system that helped them, whereas most of the people that succumb to it tend to be more malnourished.
It's a little bit off topic. I don't know if you want to go here or not, but in the last couple of news days, I didn't see anything about Ebola.
I know. It was all about the election, you know. It
uh-huh.
seems like all that went away. I can't believe anything I hear about the numbers anymore, 6,000, 10,000, 15,000. And I'm like, you kill over 100,000 a year with prescription drugs. Oh, hello. So we need to keep a perspective, and I know it's scary, but I think there's tools.
But is it really scary, or is it just hyped? Where, you know, it's like going to see a movie on aliens back, you know, back in the day. Ooh, what? Scary. Yeah, but it was just a movie. Is there real cause to be concerned about Ebola right now, or has it been exaggerated and our fears exaggerated?
I think there's a little bit of both. You always want to be, you know, prepared, and you want to be cautious and, you know, common sense. But at the same time, I think there has been a lot of hype behind this, and I think the middle generation, you know, the people over 40 remember that Dustin Hoffman movie called I can't think of the name, but it was all about Ebola, you know, and it was all about people just, you know, dying left and right from Ebola. It was pretty scary, and they quarantined towns, and black helicopters flew in, and I don't know, the name of the movie escapes me right now, but anyway, it was pretty scary, and I think people remember those things, like they remember the movie Coma, you know, and they don't want to go have surgery, so. I think it's a little bit of both, but people ask me what I would do, and I would say, well, I would definitely pump in the nutrition. I would definitely tap into a lot of these herbs that medicine says works against these things, and it's a natural. It's not going to. I would do this personally before I did an experimental vaccine of any kind. That's just me, though.
You know, you mentioned this gentian root has a number of positive medicinal purposes, applications, effects. I've seen reports that spices back in the real reason that people use pepper, for example, on their food, is that pepper would actually kill parasites that were in your digestive tract.
Well, yeah, right? You just travel.
And that a lot
India.
Of what we use for seasoning is not just to give it flavor. It was originally, we could say, primitive man, I don't know if that's the correct term, that may not be an accurate description, but earlier civilizations, they used the spices not just to give you a little extra flavor, but to actually, they had medicinal purposes. That was why they really sprinkled, I don't know, any number of these, thyme, parsley, sage, I don't know which ones they, but pepper is the one that comes to mind. And I'm curious if you're aware of that or if you think that's valid information or not.
Oh, absolutely. I think a lot of it stemmed from a health perspective rather than just a palate perspective. Like thyme, they use thyme a lot with seafood, and it turns the flesh of the fish white when you cook it. So, and it also provides a lot of medicinal benefits. You know, and I think it's a lot of these spices started out in a way to preserve foods so they didn't spoil as rapidly. And even if they did spoil, it would hide the bad taste of it. But certainly these herbs improve digestion. I think a lot of the herbs got put into the dishes because of that, so people wouldn't have as much stomach upset, even if they overate, and they wouldn't have any of the reflux issues we have today and things like that. Actually, the after dinner mint was to improve digestion.
But now we add it. I think the after dinner mint probably started out as pure mint, and now it's mint, a little bit of mint, and a lot of sugar. But we're about out of time, Wendy. Give folks some contact information and.
Sure. We've actually added the gentian root formula. You can order it with your pandemic kit, or you can order it separately, either way, on our website at thepowerherbs.com, or they can simply call at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, if they need more information.
Okay, Wendy, thank you. We'll talk to you again next Thursday. That's Wendy Wilson from thepowerherbs.com, 866-229-3663. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. Be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand. Have a plan. Have peace and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Does the cost and risk of conventional healthcare concern you? Wouldn't you prefer inexpensive solutions to health problems rather than disease management? If so, tune into Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson every Tuesday and Thursday evening, 7 p.m. on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
I'm Alfred Addis, here in Financial Survival with Melody Cedarstrom. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. And given the current prices of gold and silver, everything really is discounted right now. I mean, it's pretty strange. We've got one article. Let me see.
Well,
if I...
no, before you get there, Al, we certainly do have very low prices in gold and silver. And today we have silver eagles where the premiums jumped significantly.
Yep.
And in fact, for November, the number of silver eagles, now this perhaps an overlay from October, but you have November's 1,260,000 silver eagles have been ordered from the mint. And the process, you know, from the mint to the wholesalers to the retailers is on every Monday, the U.S. Mint gets together with their designated wholesalers, and they say, we have this many silver eagles, and how many do you want? So the dealers say, well, we need this many, that many, this many. Then on Tuesday, the price is actually set for the dealer, and then the dealer pays for it, and there you have the process of how the mint sells to the wholesalers, and then of course the wholesalers distribute it throughout the country. So basically this number for 1.2, given that there might be a little bit of overflow from October, is basically a one day number. Really. So you can see this change if they update it on a daily basis, if they do take orders throughout the week. But normally it is Monday. They go out. We have this many silver eagles. And those silver eagles, the U.S. Mint is behind. Thus, we have a premium, wholesale premium. $285 is wholesale. Yesterday.
Today.
Today.
Yep.
Today.
Yes. And well, yesterday it was?
Retail yesterday was $2.45 over. So that's how quick prices change if you don't take advantage when you can. And for those of you who say, well, I'm going to see if it goes a little bit lower before I buy, this is what happens. The price might be a few cents lower, but the premium might be a few cents higher. So what are you really gaining when you're trying to time the market? So you don't. If you have a oodles of money and you want to do a little bit of cost averaging, that's fine. But most people, when they have investments, they go in, they make the order, keep the order, even though you might have the prices drop on you, that's okay. You have to really figure it out on a cent-by-cent basis, particularly when it comes to silver. How much did you really lose? I mean, silver has to drop a buck and a half on, you know, $100,000 of silver for really to make a significant impact on what you purchased in your order. And when you put it into perspective, $100,000, it really, you don't really lose that much. And on the opposite side, of course, when it goes up, I believe you, at this point, you have a lot more to lose to the upside than you do to the downside. So don't wait, because premiums, and we'll see the same thing in gold. We've seen it before, and there's a disconnect between physical and paper. Physical will disappear a lot quicker, and you'll see those premiums increase much higher than a lot of your paper. So don't wait. Don't delay. Take advantage of these great prices in gold and silver. I get asked 100 times a day, do you think we're at the bottom? At this level and what's been happening with the dollar and the oil, you know, the election is over. You have this euphoria coming from these elections that's targeting the markets. You might see a couple days of pressure. I would think with the significant drops that we've seen in both gold and silver, I find it highly unlikely it's going to continue. I think it has to settle out somewhere. Have we found the bottom? I'll let you know on Friday.
And even if we do, what happens after we find the bottom? Huh? It's not really all that interesting to sit back and say, have we found the bottom yet or not? The big question is, what happens after we find the bottom? Does the price just continue to bounce along the bottom indefinitely in time, or do we see a rebound and the price begins to go back up? More than likely, we're going to see prices begin to go back up. And there are reasons for that, and we'll get into it later on in the program. But here's an article from Reuters. And the headline is, Silver Price Tumble Triggers Global Scramble for Coins, Bars. A tumble in silver prices to four-year lows has triggered a global scramble by consumers to purchase silver coins and bars as the metal has reached its cheapest level relative to gold in more than 5 years. Retailers and distributors in Asia and the United States said they were struggling to get supplies of items such as Canadian maple leaf silver coins. Silver fell to a four-and-a-half-year low at $15.17 an ounce on Wednesday, down 21% this year so far. Silver maples are being snapped up by U.S. and Asian buyers as the premiums are lower than for silver eagles. Silver philharmonics continue to be popular in Europe. An ounce of gold is now about equal in price to 74 ounces of silver, the biggest spread since early 2009. Due to its great affordability, silver sales tend to outstrip gold in volume terms and attract a lot more retail buyers. But retailers are already finding it hard to get hold of silver products as they sell out their existing stock. The premiums of silver maple leaf bullions are going to rise soon. And what Melody was talking about, we're already seeing it. This article is written today, but nevertheless, Melody's talking, they're predicting that the premiums are going to rise soon. The article predicts it's going to rise soon. Melody says she's already seen the premiums. The wholesale premium on coins is now higher than the coins we were able to retail for yesterday. Right? This is happening now. because dealers can't get their hands on the coins. Premiums are going up. U.S. Mint sold 1.4 million ounces of silver American Eagle coins on Friday alone, the highest daily sales since the new 2014 dated coins first became available January 13th. All right. So in 10 months, it's the biggest day in 10 months. All right. Well, you know, I mean, when you look at these prices, on the one hand, if you have silver, you have gold, you look at the prices and you can be fearful and say, oh, my gosh. On the other hand, you can sit back and say, holy cow. I mean, this is crazy. Silver is going for 15 bucks an ounce. You know, I mean, it becomes, you look at this and say, wait a minute now, you're kidding me. You know, if we had sat there and told you a month ago, 2 months ago, silver was going to be down to $15 an ounce, most people would sit back, oh, you're crazy, that could never happen. They'd say, well, here we are. The question now is, how long can it be sustained? All right? There's the question. And I don't know where silver is going to go. I have no idea if it's going to fall significantly further, whatever. But I'm just saying, look, this is an extraordinary buying opportunity. And, you know, if you see that and appreciate it, yeah, jump in. Again, we do that. You buy low and you sell high. And that inevitably means you buy when the product is low. Silver's low.
And, what
right?
do you-
and then and people are saying, oh, stay away from it. That has to happen. When a product is at a low price, people are saying, oh, that's crazy. Don't buy that. That's crazy. That's the time to go.
What's the one thing that all these paper financial planners will tell you when a particular stock is going down? Hey, you buy it each time it goes down. You keep buying even though it's going down. That's how you lower your costs when you bought higher and you get to get more and more and more. The same philosophy applies. You just, if it drops, you buy. If it drops, you buy. If it drops, because you're actually buying something that has true fundamentals to make it go up. Wall Street tells you to buy just so they get rich. But fundamentals are strong. And the elections, what are they really going to do?
Well, we've got a new class. We threw the crooks out, the Democrat crooks, and we have replaced them with Republican crooks. And that's true to the story. I mean, people say, "Oh, that's cynical. Yeah, it is. That's basically what happened. Here's an article from the Washington Times. Landslide. That's the headline. Landslide. Republicans capture Senate and prized governorships. Republicans held all of their seats and picked up more than six seats needed to take control of the Senate. As voters across the country delivered a scorching rebuke of President Obama's tenure. Pickups in South Dakota, Montana, West Virginia, Arkansas, Colorado, Iowa, and North Carolina earned Republicans the majority with a seat to spare, and they were already favorite to win the runoff in Louisiana in December, which would give them 53 seats. Voters seething at an economy still struggling to recover 6 years after they hired Mr. Obama for the job, directed their anger at his allies in Congress and the State House. The election was not an affirmative, mandate for Republicans either, according to exit polls. The message, Andrew Harry Reid, he says the message is clear. The voters want us to work together. Bunk. The voters would like both of you to march, both the Republicans and the Democrats, to walk the plank together. That's what they'd like. Let me see. A chastened White House announced Tuesday that Mr. Obama had invited congressional leaders to the White House on Friday to try to chart a path forward, hoping to find at least some issues where the two parties could cooperate. What do you think the chances of that are? Slim or none. But here's the one that gets me. And I've been telling folks, and I've said it on this program and another program I do in the evenings, what we have, and we've had it for the last three administrations, we elect some clown into the White House and his party, and they have predominant party power, and they inevitably screw it up because they serve the special interests that their party represents rather than the general interests of the American people. And the American people get angry about it, and they say, all right, we're going to throw the Democrats out. We're going to elect the Republicans. Republicans come in, and then what do? They screw it up by abandoning the best interests of the American people and serving their special interests. And then we, the people, also known as we the dummies, we go ahead and say, well, we'll show them. We'll throw the Republicans out, and we'll elect the Democrats. And the Democrats get in, and they do the same thing. Both parties are for sale to the highest bidder. And that's the trouble. Neither one of these parties has a sincere impulse to do what's best for the American people, except in the context of elections where they talk about it. They say, oh, we're going to do wonderful things for you. You'll see. Every time in the last three major administrations that they achieve really disproportionate power, you can guarantee it's going to get them thrown out of office. They will exploit that power. And although the American people are a little slow to pick up on it, they'll pick up on it over the course of several years, and then they'll throw that party out, and they'll elect the other bunch of bums. What this country needs is a viable third party. You know, we talk about throw the bums out of office. Well, that's a great idea if you don't replace one class of bums with another class of bums. And that's what we're doing. What we need is a viable third party where we can throw both the Republicans and the Democrats out of office and put a third party in who actually represents the best interests of the American people rather than special interests. Now, that may be just a fantasy, but if that were possible, we might be able to achieve something significant and positive in this country. Here's the paragraph I wanted to get to. The voters told exit pollsters that they were fed up with Washington and had lost faith in government to do what's right, and did not express much optimism that the Republicans would do right things. Right? People are beginning to wake up. They're looking for another alternative. It's not working to throw the one group of bums out and throw the other group of bums in. We can't just keep electing one group of bums and the other group of bums and the first group of bums and so on. It's doing us no good. We need a party that does what's right for the American people and not what's right for special interests. With Mr. Obama saying his policies were on the ballot. That was one of his brilliant gaffes. I mean, he must be drinking the same stuff as Joe Biden. He's beginning to emulate his vice president. Hmm?
Well,
voters sent the clearest signal of dissatisfaction to him just 6 years after they made him the country's first black president and gave him a hope and change mandate to change things.
Well, they did approve pot in D.C., marijuana, Mary Jane. So now can you imagine the legislation coming out of Washington now?
Now I can imagine pictures of President Obama taking a toke there in the Oval Office. That's what I can imagine.
So now they can pass all these laws and be happy doing it.
Yes. Got another headline from the New York Times, and I thought the headline just itself was interesting. New York Times is, basically they favor the Democrats. They are a left-leaning publication. And nevertheless, here's their headline. President Obama left fighting for his own relevance. In the aftermath of the election, what's Obama going to do to prove that he's relevant? Got one more from the Washington Times. We've talked about this in the last several days. Obama's incredible ego and vanity seem to compel him to deny reality, much to the displeasure of his own party. I mean, he was doing things that were getting the Democratic Party wanted to get away from him. But here is the Washington Times, which is a Republican paper, basically. And the headline is, Humbled Obama Tells Voters, I Hear You. After crushing defeat for Democrats, President Obama said the American people sent a message, one that they've sent for several elections now. He's right. We keep throwing the incumbents out because they betray us every time. They expect the people they elect to work as hard as they do. They expect us to focus on their ambitions, meaning the people's ambitions, and not ours. Amazing. He's admitted that the government has been pushing special interests and the government's interests rather than the people's interests. And this is just what I've been telling you for the last several days. All right. Well, he says to everyone who voted, I want you to know I hear you. He's essentially saying he promises to make changes. You know, I'll believe that when I see it, if I ever believe it. It's just interesting. We'll be back in a moment. Take some commercials here in Melody, and I will return on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adask here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
Well, you know, we have a caller, but before we get to the caller, we'll stay on this topic for just a second. Benefits. We talk about the amount of money that they get. North Carolina's Kay Hagan. She was only in there for 6 years, but she gets 10% of her annual pay, which is about $17,000, as she made on an annual basis $174,000. You have Colorado's first-term senator, Mark Udall. He'll be paid about $47,000 a year since he served five terms in the House. Senior members will receive 80% of their pay, or about $139,000 a year. So,
Will ordinary people who collect Social Security, will they, in for 30 years or so, will they get 80% of their pay on Social Security?
Don't think they will.
No?
No.
Hmm. Huh,
funny,
strange.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Plus other benefits, plus health and...
Yeah, plus tips. So. Don't forget the tips, Melody. Stock tips, bribes. God only knows how much money you can make. It's like being elected to sheriff in Alabama or something like that. Back in the day, I don't know that it's still true. Back in the day, get elected one time, you can retire. Right.
There shouldn't be any member that's in there for 32 years in office. No one should hold office for 32 years. No one should hold office for 6 terms, 9 terms. I mean, it's...
Why do they? Because they bring home the bacon, meaning that they rob other states. They manage to achieve enough power where they can extort money from other states in the union and give it to their states. And the voters say, yay, we have a senator, a congressman that helps us to rob other people. Yay, let's vote for the, he's a good robber. All right, let's vote him back into office. And all it does is contribute to a moral collapse in this country. We can't keep electing people who merely try to give us something. Got to do what's right rather than what's profitable. And it's easy to say and it's hard to do, but still, it's a choice that needs to be faced and embraced and encouraged, and maybe it would even happen. Who can say? Shall we talk to Jim?
Absolutely.
Jim, what you got for us?
Oh, I've got two short stories and an implication. You folks are always talking about money. Money's a factor. I've known a lady for, Lord, about 40 years. 40 years ago, she's a sister I never had, and we've been friends forever. About 40 years ago, she was drop-dead gorgeous. And she could sing like a bird. And everyone says, go to Nashville, go to Nashville. So she went to Nashville and did some audition tapes. And they drew up a contract, very nice, juicy contract. She was in the office of the president of a recording company. And he said, here, look at this contract. What do you think? But there's one catch. Casting couch. She said no. To this day, she says, thank God I said no. I was talking to a West Virginia House of Representatives gentleman who served three terms, and then he quit. He was a good guy. I said, why? And he had a little bit to drink that night. And so he said, well, first of all, he said, if you're a good guy and you get elected the first time, hey, okay, next time they throw a bunch of money at somebody else in the primary and try to knock you out. If you get elected again, ooh, he said, if then the threats begin. He said, I ran for the third time, and then my wife and children begged me not to run again. He says, I'm 100% convinced that every phone in that state house is bugged, and if they can get something to blackmail you with, they blackmail you. If that doesn't work, they try to pay you off. If that doesn't work, that's when the threats begin. He said, so I've had it up to here. Okay, implication. Anytime you see, a fourth one. There's my dad knew a fellow who was a member of the State Department. He had been a member of the Pentagon during the World War II. He didn't like where things were going because they were funneling money through him to communist insurgents in Central America. He said, I want to quit. They said, no, we'll kill you and your family. But here, how about a nice pay raise to rub the salt in the wound? Implication, if you have somebody who goes to Congress and they behave one way, they stalk one way and behave another, there's a very good chance that they just might be blackmailed, because blackmail is cheaper than paying somebody else. But of course, once you're willing to play the game, you get to make lots of money too. I almost guarantee you, if you have somebody who does this, there's a very good chance somebody has something on somebody else. Now, okay, almost every government throughout the world is in fact a corporation run by a shadow government. Counterfeiters, the international bankers, who are working all together all over the world. They're the one trying to put together one world government. So the shadow government runs, and they have all the counterfeit currency. They run the intelligence agencies, and the intelligence agencies do their bidding. Oh, here, blackmail this guy because you got the information on him. Or here, pay this guy off. And all the money under the table, so his bank account, as opposed to the lobbyists, are much more overt. Or you kill him, like Ross Perot. Folks, it is that corrupt. But the guys like Ron Paul, I'm not too concerned about agreeing with everything everybody does. Mm-hmm. I'm concerned about their heart and their mind. But if you have a guy like Ron Paul, who I never compromised himself integrity-wise, that's how he could do as much as he could do. So if we send these people to Washington, and they say one thing and do another, it might just not be payoffs. It could very well be that they have moral problems. This is why, it's, like if you look at the who's who in Congress, and you find out how many charges they've had against them in the past, all kinds of felony charges. I know one individual going to Congress who was involved in cocaine a number of years back. Somehow or another got off. But here's what I'm trying, and I mean the charges are part of public record, but here's what I'm trying to say to you. There are very few people who have personal integrity who find themselves in high offices. We have a lot more moral corruptness in this nation than I care to think about. The one thing I can say about the Tea Party members, I do believe most of them have higher moral integrity than what we've sent to Congress in the past. So, okay, I've pretty much had my say. But just keep in mind, so many times you talk about money, also there's a very good chance they're holding a picture over their head or a videotape. Have I said enough?
That'll do for now.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate
you, Jim.
Appreciate the comment. You know, back about 1990, I ran for state representative here in Texas. And it wasn't a situation. I had no chance of winning. All right. I was running in the Republican primary and in a district that was so heavily Democrat that nobody else even wanted to run the Republican primary. Okay. The Republicans didn't have a chance. It just was the nature of the district I was in. And I just wanted to run because it would give me a soapbox where I could stand up and complain about lawyers and judges. I did a little press, and that was my objective. So I'm running in the Republican primary. And I wasn't going to run if there was any competition because I knew a real Republican would beat me. I wasn't really a politician or that sort of thing. I waited until about 15 minutes before they closed out the opportunity to be the candidate, the Republican candidate. I was down at the Republican headquarters, and nobody else had signed up, and it was about 15 minutes to midnight or 10 o'clock or whatever it was, whenever they were going to close the opportunity to sign up, and said, all right, I'll run. And I put my name in the hat, and there was that. Well, unbeknownst to me, another guy came in a few minutes later, and he also put his name in the hat. And he was a black Democrat. You understand? And the Republican Party, this is Texas, you understand? I'm not making racist remarks here. I'm simply saying this is political reality. The Republican Party voted about 60-40 to be represented by a black Democrat rather than me. And I was trying to raise Cain for lawyers and judges. Well, for me, this was an interesting experience. This is one of those things where you sit back and say, something else is going on here. I didn't offend anybody but the lawyers and judges, and still the Republicans would rather nominate a black Democrat than a guy who's complaining about lawyers and judges. And it was evidence to me that, you know, just political system is corrupt in a way that Jim was talking about just a moment ago. And all the way down to who even gets nominated at the state level. I mean, it's pretty strange. So, again, we talked earlier in the program about what's the solution, and one of them is a third party, a viable third party, with candidates who pledged that they would not take any political campaign contributions from anyone, any person who couldn't vote for them. Right? That would be one of the criteria, because the trouble we have with both the Republicans and the Democrats is that they have passed laws that effectively allow them to take bribes from lobbyists. And there'd be a lot of people who say, oh, that's radical talk. That's, you know, it's not that bad. Well, yeah, it kind of is. What needs to be done is you shouldn't be able to accept a political campaign contribution from any artificial entity like a corporation or a union. You should only be able to receive political campaign contributions from individuals. And I don't care how much the individual gives you, but it's all got to be listed, made available on the internet. You can see if you got $1 million from Ross Perot and $500 from Alfred Adask or whatever. You can find that information on the internet before they can spend the money. It's got to be recorded who's given them money. And give us an idea who they might represent. I don't care how much money. Other people might want to impose limits. That's fine with me. I have no objection to it. But you shouldn't be able to take money from anyone who can't vote for you. Meaning that if you're in a district, particular district here in Texas, and you're running for office, if the people, the voters within that district can give you money if they care to. But the voters in the next district, or the voters in New Jersey, or the voters in Seattle, or the political entities and organizations and institutions all over the country, they can't give you money. Only your constituents And under those circumstances, you would be compelled to do what's best for the people in your district, not for the special interests that have money to burn. You change the political campaign contribution laws, and you can begin to get a handle on corruption and treachery and even treason in our Congress, in our Senate, in our White House. But as long as you're going to allow them to take money from any source, I mean, I heard Bill Clinton got money from the Red Chinese Army back during one of his elections. I don't know that to be true, but I heard it as if it were true.
They were associated with that one, that one, what's his name, Chang?
Everybody's name Chang in China.
Wong?
That's like Smith. That's like Smith in this country. The point remains. You can't do that. You can't expect these people. No one is giving these people money who doesn't expect a return on their investment. The corporations say, well, we're just in favor of good government, and we believe this congressman will provide good government. Bunk. Corporations don't give a damn about good government. They care about corporate profits. And the reason they give money to one congressman as opposed to another congressman is because they expect the first congressman, if he's elected, to pass laws which will enhance the corporation's ability to extract profits by overcharging their customers and exploiting the middle class in this country. That's all that's going on here. They are taking bribes. And when they do, they are inevitably obligated to serve the best interests of the people they took the money from. And this goes back to this idea. You know, we get angry at the Democrats. They serve the special interests. We throw them out like the Republicans. They've got their own special interests. They serve the special interests, betray the people, get mad at them, throw them out, reelect the Democrats. They serve their special interests. Who's giving them money? That's who they serve. They do not serve the voters. They give us lip service, but they serve the oligarchy. They serve the people who have money to spend. And the result is we are all diminished. This nation is diminished. Our access to the rights that this country started with, we started with an unprecedented idea that we the people receive our rights, our most important rights from God. And the fundamental business of government was to secure those God-given unalienable rights. It was an unprecedented principle. We all got our rights from God. That elevated all of us to the status of sovereigns. And it relegated our government to the status of public servants rather than masters. And over the years, government doesn't want to be our servant. They want to be our master. They wanted to remove us from the status of individual sovereigns, turn us into subjects, and in some instances, animals. You know, we're out of time basically now, but I've been sued for $25,000 a day by the Attorney General of Texas in a lawsuit where I read the law and I realized it only applied to animals. They have been presuming you and me and your children, mine, and everybody in this country to be nothing but livestock since 1906. We stopped that case when the Attorney General they'd invested nearly $500,000 in 6 years in that case, and the insight that they treat us as animals, they just shut the whole thing down and dropped it. We're out of time, folks. I'm Alfred Adisk. I want to thank you for listening. Melody and I will be back mañana. In the meantime, have a good evening, have a good day, and may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank the producer. Bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it? Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.